Welcome to Mocktails and Masterpieces with the Indianapolis Chamber Orchestra. Today's episode is sponsored by Anthony Team Realty.
Greetings, ICO fans. Matthew Kramer here, music director of the ICO, with another Mocktails and Masterpieces. The 40th anniversary season for ICO has flown by, but we are arriving at one of the keystone works of this anniversary season, and that's Black Keys, curated and programmed by our dear friend, Joshua Thompson, the creative partner with ICO. Joshua, good to see you.
Good to see you again. And man, we're getting down to crunch time. This is about to be a whole thing in about, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that?
Exactly right. You know, these, as we always say, these seasons that we build start 18 months in advance. You know, we go to print on our website. And then when it's actually time to produce the concert and be out there on stage, it's just the culmination of a very long process and a lot of creative energy. And your relationship with ICO goes back several years. And I think actually one of the first projects that you and I worked on together was our digital education series, specifically What Makes Music American. And you played a pivotal role bringing that programming to life. And again, this is just in some ways an extension about it. Will you tell us, you talked about it before, but briefly about Black Keys and kind of the origin of this program in your mind?
For sure. As you said, this program is modeled very, very similarly to the What Makes Music American program, where we all identified, hey, this narrative of American music or just music in general, it's good, but it's missing some pieces, right? And so I bring in my expertise and passion for researching and performing and programming classical masterworks written by composers of African descent, because as you all well know, this music goes back, you know, 3, 4, 5 centuries. And it's always nice to fill in those gaps and shore up that historical and cultural and cosmic narrative. And you all have been so nice to give me an opportunity to, wreck shop a little bit and just let my brain go crazy. And so it is a phenomenal program that is exclusively comprised of composers of African descent, going all the way back to about, I'd say, the mid 1700s. Up to the mid to late 20th century, just so we can give viewers, listeners, and audiences everywhere a more refined and accurate, but no less passionate and artistic overview and window into cultures of people who have always contributed to this canon of music that we still do not see performed and programmed often enough.
Absolutely. And it's no small feat to be able to select a program of repertoire that fits within our normal 90-minute concerts. I mean, you're obviously so many things that probably wanted to make their way into the program, but where you were forced to leave them off because of time constraints. But how did you arrive at the final structure for Black Keys, the repertoire that you selected, and the mix of, we also want to talk about the collaborative partners, the other performers right, that are joining with us, but let's specifically about the music. How did you arrive at this?
So we discussed in the last episode how, a lot of these pieces were meant to be swapped in and swapped out because I am one person and cannot play the entire catalog of all these awesome composers. I say I can live this life and the next and still only scratch the surface. So very intentionally, a lot of these pieces are meant to be subbed in and subbed out as they fit, you know, this cultural narrative that we have of this, like, origin and creation and genesis of the Black aesthetic through classical music. And I think that's the fun part, because I would find certain composers, I'm like, oh, I really like this song. And then when I had an opportunity to expand it for the full orchestra, it really lent itself to some of the larger orchestral arrangements and some of the other tunes I think that fit aesthetically a little bit better. So that was a fun part. And I also think that, you know, if and when we do this again, the opportunity to sub in and sub out is there again, because this is really just a melange and a huge buffet of classical compositions. It really is just scratching the surface. And I'm confident that we're going to do our jobs very well and really compel people to dig even further, much like I did several years ago, to find pieces, more information about the composers, and find out what else the ICO is going to be doing in the future seasons that are, if not identical to shows like this, very, very similar, always highlighting every voice that has contributed to the classical and the chamber canon.
And you mentioned full orchestra. That's a point that we have to mention here, is that this orchestra, our traditional chamber orchestra, is greatly expanded for this program, that we're adding full symphony orchestra, brass, and wind components here, particularly for pieces like the Martin Luther King movement, Three Black Kings by Duke Ellington. I mean, it's an incredible conclusion to your program. A large orchestra, and then there are moments where we come down to a very small, intimate, typical chamber orchestra setting for pieces like Ulysses K. Pieta, which features our own Pam Iyengo on English horn. So not only the genres, you know, from Chevalier St. George, Bologna, with his, you know, the classical era symphony that we're playing, but straight out to, you know, these incredible orchestral works of Duke Ellington and the like, different genres, but different size orchestra as well. And I'm particularly excited about the collaborators that you're bringing to the stage with us as well. Could you talk to us a little bit about who's joining the ICO?
You're right. It's my favorite part. I tell people all the time, no one gets anywhere by themselves. And this project is proof of that. So we have the world-class ICO musicians. And then a special, special treat for me personally is working with Kenyette Dance Company. They have been around Indianapolis for about 20 years, and they are a Black and an African dance company. I've wanted to work with them for so long. They do amazing, amazing work. And so it's thanks to the co-founders of Vanessa Owens, and Nick Owens and Layla Owens, choreographers, they do it all. They're adding so much to this program. There's music, but you can't tell a human story without movement. And music can do so much, but sometimes that music is really enhanced by literal, you know, the watching of the movement of your bodies and seeing how music and dance and choreography really, really do dovetail into one each other. And it just heightens all of it. So I'm so excited. And also working with a phenomenal vocalist who I've worked with for several years, Ashley Siren Simone Baskin. She takes inspiration in the vein of the last poets of the 60s and 70s, like Gil Scott-Heron and Mari Evans, and vocalists such as Nina Simone. This lady can sing her face off. I mean, she has powerhouse vocals, and she's just such a joy and a delight to work with. And then also having a wonderful opportunity to collaborate with my twin brother and saxophonist and composer, Jarrett Thompson, on the Duke Ellington piece that you mentioned. And then all of this is narrated, tying all of this together by an incredible writer and poet here in Indianapolis by the name of Devin Ginn. So he gets to provide this omnipotent presence. And as I love to say, he is Indianapolis's James Earl Jones. He's got the bass and the command that I absolutely lack vocally. So it's good to have friends in every place. And we all share the same vision and mission for this type of work because they're doing the exact same thing in their respective genres. And it's just so much fun to work and create with friends and colleagues and peers.
We have a sample that we'd like to share with you. Joshua, I'll let you set this up. This comes from our education program, which we referred to earlier, What Makes Music American, but it's an example how you've always worked with the blending of music and dance in a programmatic setting. I'll let you set it up.
So this is the first iteration. We premiered this on the What Makes Music American virtual education. And it is the second movement from William Grant Still's Africa Suite. And the movement is entitled Land of Romance. And I love this because this piece is not about romance in the way that we typically think of it. This is all about William Grant Still teasing out and pulling out and highlighting our romantic relationship with our creator, with nature, and with each other as we develop and have, you know, coursed through this universe over the millennia with Toni Morse. So this is a fun reduction of what it was like originally. And so envision in your mind an entire dance company helping to enhance and tell the story of an evolution of an entire people. And it's just absolutely gorgeous.
Here it is. Thank you. Joshua, well, that was terrific. Brings back a lot of memories of when we were working, and that was a very different time, obviously, the 12 feet of separation, but we still were able to put on concerts. In this case, you know, so, thankfully, so much of that is just distant memory for us as performers now on stage, as you mentioned, with the full Kenyatta dance. I'm thrilled with this program, how it's come to fruition, and now it's finally here. The first half is the orchestra, Samuel Coleridge Taylor's Petite Suite de Concert, a wonderful example of his lighter side of classical music. Of course, an incredible composer, works like Hiawatha, the Pieta by Ulysses Kay, which I mentioned. And then we close the first half with William Grant Still's Darker America, a very important, powerful piece of music before coming back to the second half with Black Keys. Joshua, these great composers we're talking about, are there any composers specifically, I get asked this question all the time, on this program that radiate with you particularly, a favorite composer, a favorite work, or something that you're most looking forward to on this program?
I say most looking forward to is like all of it, like putting it all together.
Of course.
For me personally, I think it's the composer that I started doing research with because there was the most of it there, is William Grant Still. I'm always just so amazed at just how much of a meta and cosmic composer he is. He's a humanistic composer and he's telling a human story. I really identify with him and how he relates to the world in which he lived in and how we as people should and can relate with each other, and music being that wonderful translator. Others of note, you know, we're doing the Three Black Kings, but also from Ellington, we're doing his the River Suite, which was for his ballet that was commissioned by the Alvin Ailey Dance Company. And so I think this is another way that we can see another side of Duke Ellington and his orchestral and compositional prowess. Of note, too, we have to mention Margaret Bonds and Langston Hughes, pivotal figures in the Harlem Renaissance, creating art songs and almost culturally nationalistic sentiments and iterations of what was going on in Black America between the 1930s and 1960s, followed up by Nina Simone and her story, wanting to be a classical pianist, not being able to because of class, race, and gender. And we all know what came of that. And there's a few other ones that are notable. There's the Joseph Ballone, the Chevalier de Saint-Georges, renamed in his proper name instead of being the Black Mozart. We're giving you absolutely everything, the sounds of classical music on the nose that we're so familiar with. We did that as well. And then also these cultural hallmarks of people of African descent, and maybe more specifically, African-Americans when it comes to the incorporation of the early iterations of jazz and ragtime, folk music, blues, and also Negro spirituals and field songs. So we're giving you an entire soundtrack of peoples from the beginning of time up to where we are now. I think that's fascinating to do all within 90 minutes. That's crazy. But we're going to do it.
Amazing work, Joshua. I had dinner about 2 months ago with the great American conductor, Thomas Wilkins, who pointed out that when he was in school, no one talked about the Duke Ellington symphonic works. If you got any William Grant Still, it was usually just the Afro-American Symphony, and that was it. You didn't even scratch the surface of an entire enormous catalog of amazing music he wrote. So a program like Black Keys is particularly important to highlight, as you've said several times, the abundance of an incredible orchestral and classical music written by the composers of African descent. And obviously this is radiating with our audience in Indianapolis because the program is sold out at this point, but
it's been sold out. I think it's sold out about 5 weeks before, which I don't think any of us saw that coming, and none of us are complaining about it either.
And it's never happened before with ICO this early on. So that's a testimony, I think, to you and the incredible work that you've done curating this program. We look very much forward to Black Keys. And thank you, Joshua. It's always a pleasure working with you. And I thank you for our friendship. This is going to be a tremendous night.
The feeling is absolutely mutual, and I can't wait for it to be in the can and be done. It's going to be magnificent. It's going to be fantastic.
Thanks, everyone.